You're listening to the Hour of the Time, the only hour that ever was or ever will be. For during this hour, you will decide your future and thus our collective futures. I'm your host, William Cooper. How many of you out there used to listen to the Billy Goodman Happening on KDEG out of Las Vegas, Nevada? Did you ever wonder what happened to that show? Well, stay tuned, folks, because my very special guest tonight is Mr. Billy Goodman.
Do we be like a fool?
Those of you who remember the Billy Goodman Happening on KDEG would recognize the signature of that show anywhere. You never knew what was going to happen, and there was usually something always about Elvis connected with it. In fact, Elvis Presley Jr. was a guest a couple of times, and there was always raging conjecture as to whether Elvis Presley was really dead or really alive. But aside from that, folks, there were some very serious subjects discussed and talked about on the Billy Goodman Happening. It was a pioneering radio show. He talked about things, and his guests talked about things that were not allowed to be discussed anywhere else. Ladies and gentlemen, I used to be a guest on the Billy Goodman Happening, and now we've gone full circle. Billy Goodman tonight is my guest. Well, here's a real switch, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hour of the Time, Mr. Billy Goodman.
Well, thank you, Bill Cooper. And it really is a switch. How do we all begin at one time? You're calling my radio show way back when, and now look at this, all the way full circle, like 4 years later, you're interviewing me, and it's a pleasure to be here this evening.
Well, thank you, Billy. It is a pleasure, I can assure you, to have you as a guest on the Hour of the Time. When I first heard of you, you were broadcasting really late at night, I think, about midnight or 1 in the morning or something. Later, you switched to an earlier time. But in the beginning, you were late night on KBEG in Las Vegas.
That's correct, yeah.
And at that time, you didn't call your show the Happening. I forget what it was. What did you call it then?
The Thing.
The Thing, that's right.
Billy Goodman's Thing.
That's right. It was Billy Goodman's Thing. And people kept telling me that you were talking about things that nobody talked about. And to me, who talked about things that nobody talked about, this was extremely interesting, so I played with my AM radio, and I lived in Fullerton, California then, to see if I could get your show, and I got it when it was really hard to hear, but I got your show, and I listened, and I heard your telephone numbers put out. So I called a couple of friends and asked them what they thought. Should I call you and talk to you? And they said, go for it, so I did, and the rest is history, isn't it?
Oh, boy. Tell us about
it. It made an instant impact on our listening audience. I'll never forget it. That happens with talk shows, especially call-in type talk shows. I have found that over the years, certain people they get their own audience or their own following. I don't know what it was. And that's what you wound up with, your own following, to the point where they said, hey, Billy, why don't you bring this man to Las Vegas? We'd like to meet him, you know, bring him somewhere we can all get to meet him personally, and then we brought you over to the showboat. I remember that in Las Vegas.
That's right. And before that, I had been traveling sometimes as far as 1,000 miles to speak to three people, if we could get three people in a living room somewhere. And, of course, I had to pay my own expenses and everything. And sometimes they would put me up for the night, but not too often. And, of course, nobody contributed anything to...
You got treated fairly well with the promoters in Las Vegas, didn't you?
Absolutely. But that was really something, Billy, when I went to Las Vegas and looked out over that audience, and there were 2,000 people there, and there were so many people showed up, they had to be turned away from the door.
Yeah.
And so I had to do another 3 hours back-to-back, so I stood up there for 6 hours talking.
And, you know, they still talk about that at the showboat in Las Vegas, because there was no advertising done other than on the Billy Goodman Happening.
That's correct.
That was it. And I remember, I can't think of the man's name offhand, but he used to call me and say, Billy, I cannot believe the phone calls are coming from all over the country. Can they hear you in Virginia? I don't know, you know, but the tapes were being sent out all over the country.
Not only the country, Billy.
No one else was doing it, I guess, and they heard the name Bill Cooper. And it was quite a list of guests. We had, you and Bo Brights, and we had that young man, Brad Kleitz, who was talking about the Cashless Society.
Uh-huh.
We called it the VIP panel. That's what it was, panel. What a lineup. And the turnout was phenomenal. Matter of fact, I talked to one of the girls who worked at the showboat, and she said she had worked at the Hilton Hotel back in the heyday of Elvis Presley. She said that was the only time she could remember such an immediate response from the announcement that this was going to occur at the showboat. And it should be noted, folks, the showboat is not one of the best places in Las Vegas, let's be honest about it. It's off the strip. Not easy to find, but it was totally sold out, and they all came out to see Bill Cooper and the rest of the gang. And it was a wonderful, wonderful night.
Well, KVEG was a 50,000-watt station, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And you did go out to about, 10 or 11 states?
10 states, Bill Cooper. Can you imagine that? As a matter of fact, in California, the Los Angeles Daily News did a special because they took some kind of a rating, and I was rated number 3 in the Los Angeles market with about 33 million listeners, they said.
Well, you had
to listen to talk shows out there, and even KNBC came up from Los Angeles and USA Tonight, and they all followed through on it because it was such a big story. Because the main theme of the Billy Goodman Happening was UFOs.
UFOs, plus you talked about a lot of other things, too. Wasn't just UFOs, but that
was the main theme.
Everybody knew
that we were like getting all the reports from all over the world on UFO sightings. It was almost like a nightly thing.
That's right.
And of course, it spun off into the government conspiracies, the New World Order. Nikola Tesla, another main theme. Let's not forget that Nikola Tesla was a big one, and I still follow that one very, very closely because I think that's one of the most important topics of the day right now.
Very popular subject.
I don't know, Bill, where you are. Are you having any trouble with the powers that be? Claiming they have to turn off the lights in certain sections because they can't afford the electricity bill out in your area?
No.
Believe it or not, if you're on the East Coast, they've already done it. They're actually turning off lights because they can no longer afford to pay the electricity bill.
Wow.
On main highways, for 20-mile stretches at a time, no lights.
That's incredible.
That could be something that could spread across the country because it's just too expensive now.
We're in the area that except for the drain of the power that's sent to California, is we have an overabundance of dams and rivers and power. California takes a lot of the power from our area. And, of course, Phoenix uses a lot in the summertime because of the 120-degree heat and all the air conditioners. But, we haven't had that problem here. I understand that a lot of areas in the country are very, very hard hit by this economic, as they call it, a slump. It's really a depression for those of us who have studied it. And I predicted, as a matter of fact, that this would happen way back on your show on KBEG, that there would be a depression
by the end of 1993, and I believe that by the end of this year, it's actually going to be worse. But.
Well, I've talked to some old-timers, Bill Cooper, and they have told me they think it's worse today than during the Depression, because at least during the Depression, they had jobs waiting for them when they reopened. Now the jobs have left.
That's right.
Even if things get better, where are you going to go to work?
That's absolutely true.
So it's worse than it was then. People don't even realize it. I see it every day. Where I do my radio show, you know, I'm on every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 p.m., in case you folks are listening in the area, 3 to 6 p.m. on radio station WALE in Providence, Rhode Island. And where we broadcast from, we look out this window, and you can see the homeless. They seem to gather in downtown Providence, and they wait for the bus to take them to the shelters. Bill, I see them every day.
Well, you know,
people are hurting.
According to Rush Limbaugh, that's no problem.
Oh, Rush. Bill Cooper, as a matter of fact, I announce on my show, by the way, I guess you know I do a show every Sunday night now on the same radio station you're on.
Uh-huh.
Every Sunday night from 11...
Is it Sunday or Saturday night?
Sunday night.
Sunday night, okay.
11 to 1 a.m. East Coast time. And a lot of listeners have been calling, you know, they call because I give out my phone number, and I tape some of the conversations. And we were talking about some what we can do to improve things. And one thing that came up in a lot of the conversations, and I said, Bill Cooper and I have to get on this case. And that is we have to get rid of Rush Limbaugh. Because, as far as I'm concerned, he is a paid political announcement and nothing more.
That's exactly right. But, you see, he has admitted that. In fact, he's even gone farther than that. I've heard him say three times that he's just an entertainer, you shouldn't take him so seriously, and that if he could get a bigger audience and more money by switching to the liberal point of view, he'd do it tomorrow. So the people who are listening to him and taking him seriously after having heard that are really the problem.
Oh, boy.
Because he's been honest with them, and I've heard him say this three times with my own ears.
I think that's a cop-out, Bill. I believe it sincerely. I know what happened here. He can come on my show, and I'll go on his show. I know how he got where he got. I know the whole all the details behind it.
Oh, yeah.
I was somewhat involved in the movement.
We all do.
What happened? The National Association of Broadcasters went to their main meeting and presented this man to all of these radio stations across the country to put them in midday, not night times like they used to be for all syndicated talk shows,
mm-hmm.
but midday. If they were to pick him up, they were going to look real nice to the FCC. Because this man was established. We're talking during the Bush administration now when this man put into power.
Sure.
Let's never forget it. Millions of dollars were put behind him. Millions of dollars of advertising and promotion. They picked this man. Hand-picked this man.
That's true.
To do what he is doing.
He
has not changed. And believe me, he has an agenda. And the agenda is to tell you American people out there everything is fine.
That's right.
Don't listen to people like me and Bill Cooper and others who tell you that there are problems and we try to enlighten you. And more or less we tell you what they really don't want you to know. But they're facts, and that's the problem. He'll never tell you these stories. He won't tell you electromagnetic fields are dangerous to your health. He will not discuss it.
That's right.
But we know it.
That's right.
In the state alone, they said that they have to bury the wires. Big deal. I don't think that that'll solve the problem. What they should do is eliminate the wires totally. We don't need wires. Nikola Tesla proved it many, many, many years ago. The only reason we have wires, Bill Cooper, is because that's how they collect the money off of us.
Sure. You can't meter something that doesn't travel through a wire.
That's
and
right.
So you can't charge somebody
yes.
for it. And what's even worse to these people is you can't control it. You can't shut it off.
You can't shut us off. If we didn't have any wires, they couldn't shut us off. We'd have all the lights we need. We could run all the appliances we want, and we'd be healthier.
That's right.
And they don't want that. They certainly don't want us to be healthier. Let's prove that fact.
Now, Billy, your show is on from what time now?
Sunday nights from mm-hmm. 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Okay, and Pacific? Pacific?
Because it goes all over the world. It's all different time zones.
That's
now.
Right. Pacific daylight time, that's 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Until 10 p.m.
Yeah, good.
And
point.
I think that's 0300 UTC to 0500 UTC. I'm just now learning that, Billy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I never was a radio person. When I was 16 years old, I don't know if you even knew this, but I was a disc jockey on Armed Forces radio network in Japan, and I had my own show called Radio Teen.
No.
But that was a lot of years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. But I'd forgotten everything that I had learned, and certainly they didn't have UTC time then. They had Greenwich Mean Time, which is the same thing, really.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so I still don't have it.
But you're supposed to know all of this.
Anything about electronics. That's why I'm having difficulty hooking up my show. People don't understand this. We are doing our own thing, Bill Cooper. This is a really innovative type thing we're doing.
That's right.
I do my show like you do your show right from our own home.
That's correct.
This is unbelievable, and days gone by, you couldn't do this before. And I'm trying to hook up the telephone line so that people can call in direct, and that's not easy to do.
You know, we're doing the same thing, and we'll be on satellite, back up on satellite. We were on satellite, then we came off, and we'll be back up on satellite pretty soon on the Let's Talk Network.
Right.
And we also are going to be broadcasting live soon. Right now, these are taped shows, and my audience knows that.
Right.
But we will be broadcasting live soon. And the hour of the time, we'll also be taking calls from listeners, but we're only going to do it maybe once every 2 weeks, simply because the vast amount of information that we have to put out. Your format is more of an interchange of information between you and your listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, the biggest thing I'm getting on now, Bill, that I don't know if you've been following, is that shooting in San Francisco.
No.
4-page letter, typewritten, maybe I'd left by the man before he did the shooting. Have you followed that story at all?
No.
His major complaints were against the FDA, the legal profession, and the one thing that put him over the top was monosodium glutamate.
Uh-huh.
He says that made all of it come to a head, according to his typewritten letter. He says he was one of those people of the 5% of the population, that's 12.5 million people, where that poison, he called it poison, monosodium glutamate, has reached such high levels in their cells that just a minimum amount of more could kill them. Now, back here in Providence at radio station WALE, we have a Dr. Wynn Jansen who's on just before me. It's called the Wellness Workshop. And just yesterday, I interviewed him, which I'm going to play on my international broadcast, folks. You'll have to hear this. One Sunday night, I don't know which one it's going to be. There's nothing wrong with taping. You never know when it's going to come on eventually. But he makes a statement saying he feels monosodium glutamate is a mind-altering drug.
No,
he comes out and says it straight out. Over the years, I have heard people tell me, including Dr. Evans Rapsomanic, you've heard me talk about him over the years, I'm sure, a man who was put out of business by the FDA. He says, be real careful about MSG and other flavor enhancers because it could affect the cells. This is what this man is saying in his typewritten letter. It's time someone investigates that. First of all, are you familiar with MSG, Bill?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've done any study on it or anybody talked to you about it.
All I know is that several years ago there was a big flap about it, and people started cutting back on it and taking it out of food and things like this. I don't remember exactly what the flap was about, but yes, there was something attributed to MSG. I don't remember what it was, and it may be what you're talking about now. If it's true that it's a mind-altering drug, then that could have far-reaching consequences.
Dr. Jensen believes that's why a lot of people are going crazy.
Wow.
Because, see, the food itself, people would not eat this type of food because it would taste so bland, you wouldn't want it, and it's not good for you. But when they add the flavor enhancer, then, of course, it fakes the palate out.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes down to the stomach area and then races through the bloodstream without even realizing what's going on. That's what he claims, anyway.
Well,
I feel like I'm interviewing you. Let's get back to Bill Cooper. This is what happens, you know,
well,
on the radio.
Well, that's okay. On my show, when I have a guest on the show is for the guest.
Yeah,
I want my listeners to hear what the guest has to say. They listen to me every night. They know pretty much what I have to say.
Uh-huh.
Billy, you know, I remember a long time ago in KVEG, I was a guest on your show, and I was telling people where they could go to see these flying craft out in the desert near the test site known as Area 51 at Groom Dry Lake. And I remember an elderly gentleman called and really got on your case for having me on the show with this nonsense. And And I interrupted him and asked him where he lived, and he said Las Vegas. And I said, well, instead of doing this, why don't you get in your car and drive up there? It's about 140 miles. And I told him the exact route to take, Highway 93, and turn left on 375 and go up over Hancock Summit and down in the desert and just look toward Groom Dry Lake and you'll see for yourself. And he was really irate. He says, no, it's a waste of time. There's nothing out there. I wouldn't waste my time. And he hung up the phone. Well, after that interview that night, I guess starting the next day, you began to receive phone calls from the listeners who took me seriously and really wanted to go. And I want you to tell our listening audience what happened from there.
Unbelievable response. They all wanted me to put some kind of a field trip together and bring them up to Area 51. Well, we did. Let's take it step by step. First of all, we called the powers that be, Lincoln County Sheriff's Department, or they had heard rumors we were talking about on the radio, asking people if they wanted to come to sign up, so they would have to call in and let us know. And Lincoln County Sheriff's Department called and warned us not to come up there because we'd be arrested. And that, of course, just turned me the other way. I said, well, really? We're coming.
That fueled the fire.
That was it. That was the end of that story. I told the people, we're going. We're going to put fill a bus up. We're going to have people following us up in cars, and we're coming. And believe this or not, I'll never forget this. When we arrived there, we didn't know what was going to happen. They escorted us. They stood with us. They stayed with us. They didn't bother us at all. They thought we were nice people. And we sat out in the middle of the desert. We saw some very, very strange goings-on. That's all I can tell you. Because you can't see anything because you're so far away from this place. You can't get any closer than on a 29.5-mile marker there on that dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
But what we saw happening up above our heads, seeing these zigzagging motions of lights in the sky, we had never seen anything like it. The only other time I've seen anything close to it recently, when I say recently, I'm going back to the Iraqian war.
Uh-huh.
I remember watching on television. I said, those lights look familiar to me. Those lights look familiar to me. I said, that looks like the stuff I saw up in the desert. And I can remember them talking about some of these planes that could stop and go, and I said, maybe that's what we saw. So we'll never know. You know, we'll really never know what we saw, but we know that we saw something, and we reported it, and we had a good time, and people still go up there. As a matter of fact, there was a place called Rachel's Bar and Tavern. Remember that?
Yeah, Rachel's Bar and Grill was the name of it, and they changed the name now.
It's a little alien.
That's correct.
It is now a tourist attraction.
A big
people
one.
Come from all over the world.
Now, you see what we started, Billy, talking about.
Your picture's up there on the wall, my picture's up there on the wall, against Bob Lazar, anybody who was ever somewhat associated with what went on up at Area 51 is kind of featured in that place. If you're ever going to Las Vegas, you've got to check this place out. It's really something, only about 15 miles north of the area. But you could sit at Rachel's and look outside, too, and see some fascinating stuff going on.
That's right. And if you have real good optics, real powerful, real good optical binoculars and lenses for your cameras, you can actually see, as I have done, and film these things and take photographs of these things, and you can see clearly through good optics that they are disc-shaped, they are non-traditional type aircraft, and they do real crazy things.
The best one I've seen on video is the one that Nippon did, the Nippon Television Network.
Mm-hmm.
They did a fantastic job. They were right to the gates. They were the only ones that had to come from Japan to challenge these people at Area 51. They went right to the gates. The local television stations, all the ones that came up, even Current Affair, everybody would come up there. They'd go just so far and back off from the Wacken Hut people,
uh-huh.
But not Japan. They went right up to the gates. I love them for it.
Well, I got news for you. We challenged them also, and we went to the gates. And
Wait, did go to the gates?
Oh, yeah. We had some real close run-ins with those people, which it really got to be pretty dangerous at a couple of points. But anyone who knows me knows that if I am within my constitutional rights and within the law, I won't back down. And I didn't. And in fact, when they finally got the sheriff to come out, because I wouldn't listen to these guys, I wouldn't do what they were telling me to do, the sheriff came out, I berated him for representing these goons from Wacken Hut and the United States government when he should have been representing the citizens who voted for him and put him in office, and should not be allowing these people to harass, intimidate citizens on public land. I autographed a copy of my book, gave it to him, told him to go home and read it, and he did. So,
I always wanted to ask you, Bill Cooper, this is my opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to have you on the scene right now. You're taping it. You have to stop it if you can.
Pardon?
I got about a spot. I've always wanted to. You come from a military background.
That's correct.
And over the years, you've become anti-military.
That is also correct. Not anti.
What did that change?
Not actually anti-military, Billy. I believe that we need the forces necessary to protect us from invasion from someone else.
Uh-huh.
I do not believe that we should be in Somalia, or Bosnia,
yeah,
or Vietnam, or Koreas, or any of those places, because none of those were fought to protect the security of the American people or the United States.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
I'm against this tremendous curtain of secrecy known as the National Security Act. I'm against organizations like the CIA and the National Security Agency. From what I discovered when I was attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence, I'm totally against any secrecy whatsoever. Secrecy is an anathema. In fact, it's against all of the principles of a republic such as ours, a constitutional republic, where the citizens have to have information in order to be able to be the government, we the people, as it was originally planned. And what all this secrecy does is it hides the actions of these internationalists and allows them to do covertly what we would never allow them to do in the open if we knew about it.
I understand.
And they're not accountable.
It makes me understand you even better, because I always wondered about that. I was talking to someone, one of my listeners who called, and I asked that question. The thing I can't totally ally myself with is someone who was in the military, because I refused the military.
Mm-hmm.
I was right at the point where, at the draft board, where the guy said, "You got to go." I said, "I'm not going anywhere. How's that? Not anywhere. It's your move. You do what you have to do right this second. It'd be you and I against the world. You're not going to convince me to go to Vietnam. You can forget about that." I said, "I think what you're doing is ridiculous." And somehow or other, I don't know what it was, but I went out and I became, I think, a 1Y, whatever that meant, or 4Y. I forgot what it was. They said, "Well, we'll get you later on, buddy. You get out of here." They never got me. Never came out, because I think they knew full well that, it was going to be a showdown. I just would not accept the fact. I cannot accept the fact, Bill, or you're taught how to kill someone that looks a little bit different than you.
Well, not only that, Billy, when we were trained, and during all of my military training, we were taught that they were not only different from us, but they were subhuman. They were animals. They were not humans like us, and they deserved to either be ruled by us or die.
Ooh.
And that's what we were taught. And we were taught to call them gooks and slopes and slants and all of this kind of stuff. And all of that was wrong. You see, in those days, I was stupid. I was asleep, like most of the sheeple in the world. I was very stupid. I was reared in a military family. I was taught that all of this was right and not to question. Your country could never do any wrong. Mm-hmm. And, the country can't do any wrong, but the people running it can, because they're people like everyone else, and they're basically flawed, and they have their own agendas, and the greed factor creeps in, and all kinds of things. And then you have these secret groups that are trying to destroy the sovereignty of nations and bring about a one-world government, and all of these are working to destroy everything that is good, and they use those of us who are stupid and who are sheep, and we're taught the things that I was taught as a boy, to go out and do their dirty work for them. And once my eyes were opened, and once I understood how foolish and how stupid I had been, I made a vow to myself that would never happen to me ever again, and I would spend the rest of my life trying to open the eyes of the other people who are asleep that I call sheeple.
And you're doing a good job of that.
Boy, I sure hope so, because it sure is hard.
Well, no, the message has to be, I think what you're stating, is to let the people know exactly how the military operates, because I don't think people really understand it.
No, they don't.
It is a very devastating type of thing for a young man to go through.
Yes, it is. Boot camp is actually a brainwashing procedure that strips everyone who goes through it, completely strips them of their previous identity and personality, and gives them a symbolic death and then the symbolic rebirth. It's the same thing as the secret societies. They are then initiated into an organization to which they become attached by this initiatory process, and they don't even realize it for the rest of their lives. And that's what makes veterans groups so close together and so special to the veterans, is that they've all gone through this initiatory process. They've suffered a symbolic death to their previous life. They've been reborn into the life of a warrior.
Yeah.
And that sticks with them for the rest of their life because, in truth, they have been brainwashed.
Well, it's time to take our break, folks. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Billy Goodman after this very short pause. Hello, folks. This is William Cooper speaking to you now for Swiss America Trading. Our good friends and the sponsors of the Hour of the Time, the people who pay for the airtime on this program. And that's all they pay for is just the airtime. Nothing goes into our pockets. We're doing this because both Swiss America Trading and those of us here at the Hour of the Time believe that there's a vast herd of people out there that need to be awakened to the truth and stop living their lives in fantasy. Those of you who are regular listeners to this program are either awake or you're in the process of becoming awakened. Now, Swiss America Trading has stuck with this program through thick and thin. They have backed us when most sponsors would have run for the hills. So we owe them a little bit of loyalty, folks. Now remember this, if you're going to make an investment of any kind in order to protect your assets against the coming economic collapse, you owe it to Swiss America Trading to call them first. Whether or not they are the people that you ultimately do business with, you should call them first, simply because they're the ones who are bringing you the Hour of the Time. You should give them a chance to tell you what they have to offer. Everyone so far who listens to this program, who is called Swiss America Trading, whether they have invested or not, has told me that they really had a good experience and the information that they got was amazing. The people who have made investments with Swiss America Trading have informed us here that they are very happy, not only with the service that they received, but with the investment and the price that they paid. And some people, folks, have informed me that they have already made a substantial percentage back on that investment. In other words, what that means is while the value of your assets have declined, theirs have not. In fact, have gone up in value. So call Swiss America Trading right now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. For the first 200 callers, you'll receive Harry Figge's report entitled Tackle the Debt. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. The call doesn't cost you a penny, folks. While you're at it, mention my name, William Cooper, and you'll get a free newsletter on protecting your future. Of course, by protecting your future, you're also protecting the future of this program, The Hour of the Time and Freedom for the World. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And you'll be glad that you did.
And this is how they coerce whole generations into keeping quiet about the crimes of the generation that went before them.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that incredible?
Oh, believe me. Every time I was interviewing an ex-Vietnam soldier, I remember how he described it to me. I'll never forget. He says, when he finally arrived in Vietnam, he says, well, if I was stupid enough to wind up here, now what I have to do is protect myself. That's all he could think about. Because I'm stupid enough, and that's the exact words he used. I was stupid enough to put myself in this position in so many words. Now I have to do something to get home.
That's right.
And he had to kill, and he had to protect himself, and he had to be part of the gang. He was describing how they would sit around in the trenches and discuss how many they killed or how many they wanted to kill. And I asked him straight up, did you ever see the enemy? No. And the way he described it to me, it was almost like a game. In other words, they would go out into this fire zone, and they would push the North Vietnamese back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They would go back in, to the rear. Another guy would go up in the fire, like once a month, I guess it was. You'd be up there for about a week. I forget how they described it.
Sure, and when you left, they all came back.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's as far as they went. In other words, they never came to the rear. I said, how come they never attacked the rear? If they really wanted to destroy the American soldiers, so to speak, why didn't they try to come in and, you know, go through the fire zone and attack the rear? They seemed to stop there.
Well, that's not really true. In some places, they did attack fire bases and home bases and airfields and things like that.
But it was only once, didn't it, during that Tet Offensive or something? It was the only time that they really did any of that, I understand.
Well, as a concerted countrywide effort, yes, but there were small actions everywhere. There was a guerrilla war, and there really was no front and there was no rear. Where I was at, we reached the same conclusion, myself and my crew members on my patrol boat. We got to the point where we were fighting to keep each other alive and to hell with everybody else. And we would go up river every night and fight these unbelievable battles on this river. We had one particular unit that was our arch enemy, and I forget the number of it, but it was a sapper.
Arch enemy?
Yeah, it was a sapper regiment that was headquartered just across the DMZ, a North Vietnamese Army NVA sapper regiment, naval sapper regiment. And their job was to interdict the river traffic that took supplies from Da Nang up to the DMZ and then up the Ta Con River to Dong Ha Quang Tri. And these supplies, a lot of them ultimately ended up supporting the effort at Quezon. And everybody who was attached and stationed along the DMZ and on the Ta Con River. And our home base was Qua Vien. We would go up every night and fight these incredible battles on this river. And then every morning we would go back in and leave the river unguarded. And it was insane, Billy. Everything that we did there was absolutely insane. We were forbidden to fire toward the south bank. Unless we had permission to do so.
No, that was another thing that was brought up. You'd always have to ask for permission to go outside your area or something, whatever words they were.
That's right. And we could fire at anything that moved on the north bank without permission. And so the enemy knew this, so they would cross the river to the south bank and ambush us.
That was the game. It was like chess.
That's right. And I finally figured out how to deal with that. There's a Navy regulation that says if an independent unit commander is separated from communication with his immediate superiors, he may take independent action to save his vessel and his crew.
Turn it off.
No, I didn't turn it off. I would shoot my own radio right off the boat. And then we would take the action necessary.
When you were a soldier and a warrior and you wanted to destroy them, correct?
Well, not destroy them. I wanted to survive. You see, we couldn't. When we were attacked, we couldn't leave the area because they...
Running around, couldn't you?
No, they would put mines in the river, and then the next night, we would have to go up the river, and we'd be blown out of the water. So we had to stay and fight. It was a catch-22 situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you leave, they mine the river. When you come back, you get blown up. So we had to fight. There was no way around it. If we didn't fight, we died anyway, so... and mines were a terrible thing. They usually...
I certainly cannot speak. I was not there. I can only relate stories that were told to me. But every time I've asked, and I'll ask you the very same question, did you ever see the enemy?
Yes, we did.
You actually saw them, like, eye to eye? And
no, not that close. I mean, we could see them.
Take them out as being different than you or whatever?
No, when we saw them...
You saw them moving in the fields or something?
Yeah, you have to understand, Billy, we always fought at night. I never fought a daylight action except once, and that was in the Da Nang Harbor in what was called Isabella Cove. They were trying to interdict the railroad tracks there, and I had that section of patrol on the coast, and we discovered them and took them under fire. Now, we could see clearly that they were Vietnamese and that they were...
Uh-huh.
What they were doing and everything. But that's the only daylight action I ever had. All the other action I ever had was at night. And we could see them through starlight scopes, and we could tell that they were men and they were carrying weapons and that they were not on our side.
Yes.
Because of the way they were dressed and the weapons they were carrying.
Were they men or children?
Well, a lot of them were boys, and some of them were men. We never found any old men, but we did capture, and this is very interesting, we captured two Chinese...
Well, I think the fact remains, though, they had a legitimate beef against us.
Well, the beef wasn't even against us.
What was the beef?
We came in the middle of their beef. What they wanted to do was unite their two separate portions of their country.
And all of a sudden, we come in and say, we don't want that.
Yeah. And they wanted to hold nationwide elections and elect their own government, their own leader. And here we were over there stopping them from doing this. And I had great respect for the Viet Cong and the NVA. They were terrific fighters, and they used... They had very little equipment. When we would capture someone or collect the bodies after a firefight, they had just a little rice pouch on what served as a belt, which sometimes was a rope and sometimes was a piece of leather and sometimes
What they were doing would be the very same thing we would do if we were invaded.
That's correct.
That's the difference.
Absolutely correct.
I'll never forget what Fletcher Prouty told me one time in an interview. He said at the end of the war, he remembers seeing all of this equipment. And he saw it. Some of it was being sent over cliffs and everything else instead of shipping it back to the United States.
Uh-huh.
A lot of it was being shipped to two places, he found out. North Korea and Vietnam. This is the end of the Second World War.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's ever told you that story. It's almost like they pre-planned the next two wars.
I read somewhere that the United States government, in the World War II, actually turned over a lot of arms and ammunition to Ho Chi Minh.
Yes, I said. That's what you say. He turned over to them and to the other guy over in North Korea.
Yeah.
For future war, I guess. I don't know what the reason was behind it.
Well, we know what the outcome was.
Oh, boy.
You know, I was going to tell you some things that most people don't know, and it never made the press. We captured two Chinese communist officers who were acting as advisors to this naval sapper regiment that was always trying to interdict our river and destroy us. And we sent them down to our headquarters, Naval Security and Intelligence and I Corps, which was Camp Carter, and they became gardeners there. I don't know what happened to them eventually, whether they were repatriated back to communist China or whether we left them there when we pulled out of Vietnam or what. But it was really strange to walk into Camp Carter to confer with my commanding officer and see these two communist Chinese officers taking care of the flowers in the lawn. It was surreal. It was like this isn't a war. This is Disneyland. I mean, what's going on here? Really strange place to be. And Billy, the worst part about it was coming home, coming right out of that war and coming home, and then almost everybody that I knew, including me, you have a tendency to almost lose your mind because the transition is so great from there back to here. It is actually like being in fantasy land. Like, none of this is real. Don't these people know what's happening? And but anyway, let's talk about your show. Who are some of the people you're going to have on your show, Billy?
Well, Travis Walton stopped by already. The gentleman that the movie Fire in the Sky is about.
Yeah.
Familiar with that movie Fire in the Sky?
Yeah. In fact, I just interviewed him. I went to his hometown and we sat in the park and had a nice interview for an hour.
Uh-huh.
Who are some of the other people you planned to have?
Well, I'm planning on bringing on Fletcher Prouty. If you folks don't know who Fletcher Prouty is, Fletcher Prouty is a man. He played X. Always played. X was his heart of life, you would say, in a JFK movie. He was also the chief, chief operating officer for the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Kennedy administration. He has a lot to talk about. Even going back to the Kennedy assassination and how some of the people were told not to show up, and it's a fascinating story. We'll bring him on board. Eustace Mullins will be stopping by.
You know, I was with Houston at Wembley in London.
Right. And I think people should hear his story because he believes the same way I do. It's time for a total collapse and start this all over again. Get rid of the Federal Reserve System and start with monopoly money and see what we can do with it, because that's where it is anyway.
Well, I would caution everybody against a total collapse. A total collapse results in anarchy. Total collapse results in anarchy, and we don't know what kind of a government would arise out of it. We've got to be very careful about how we handle what's going on.
We've got to get rid of the Federal Reserve, though.
Absolutely.
If it takes that, I'm willing to give up to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. We've got to get rid of them.
Yes, we
also have to wipe out this IRS.
Well, that would go with the Federal Reserve System.
Or at least get it straightened out to the point of making them understand. The way I understood it, and I want to do a special happening on it, is the initial reason for taxes was in time of need. That was it, where they had to raise some funds in time of need, and the monies would come from individuals who made money off of others. That's the way taxes were supposed to be, which simply means, I guess, corporations or businessmen. If they make money off of others, they would take those withholding funds and they would send them into the IRS. That's how it's supposed to be working.
Well,
now it seems, though, every single way you turn, they're taxing us.
That's correct. And a lot of it is illegal because they're direct taxes. And direct taxes.
That's the word. Direct taxes are illegal.
Direct taxes, well, they're not illegal. They can be imposed upon the states. but not upon individuals or businesses or people within the states.
I see.
But they can...
All details on it, but I know that there's a lot of questions that have to be answered. So I hope to bring on... I did an IRS special in Las Vegas. I'll never forget it. Within an hour, they ran out of the studio.
The IRS ran out?
Yeah, we had a revenue officer, a public affairs director, a consumer protection division. And the questions that these listeners were asking them, they could not answer. Certain things that come out of their actual handbook that says that income tax is based on voluntary compliance.
That's correct.
Voluntary compliance.
That's right.
That means to me, if I volunteer and I wish to give you something, fine, here it is, I comply, here you are. As opposed to making it a mandatory compliance.
Right.
And that's what it has turned out to be. So we're going to do a special on that.
Billy,
we're going to bring on, excuse me?
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. You take over.
Well, what I wanted to say is that we're getting down to about the last 5 minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that something comes out, because people are always asking me. You had a huge audience when you were on KVEG. According to the size of that audience, you should never, never have been taken off the air. You should still be there now. In fact, that station management should have done everything in the world to keep you and promote your show, because it had the potential of being the number one rated radio show in the United States, and maybe even eventually farther than that, because you were reaching up into Canada and down into Mexico. And everybody wants to know why is Billy Goodman still on KVEG? What happened?
Is that right? That still comes up, huh?
It still comes up all the time.
Well, I'll tell you the story behind the story. One afternoon, I received a telephone call, and I'm saying somewhere in the area between 12 and 2 o'clock, and I was preparing for my show. I forgot exactly what I was doing. And they said, you have to come into the radio station. I said, I can't. I'm preparing for my show. I just don't have time. Well, you better come in, because we're making some changes. So I took a ride down. I got in there around 2 o'clock for the meeting, sat down. They said, we're changing our format, so we don't see where you fit in our format. So, effective immediately, your show is canceled. Period. That was it. End of story. No more discussion. People remember at that time, though, that for 2 weeks they had absolutely nothing on that time slot.
That's right.
It was dead air, folks.
That's
absolute
correct.
Dead air. We don't know what the real reason behind it was. But we do know today that they are an all-sports network. If that was their intent, we don't know. But, I mean, today they're an all-sports network. As a matter of fact, they're heard all over the country with their sports shows.
Mm-hmm.
But that was what happened. And that's how quickly it's done in this industry.
We've done an investigation, Billy, and we have found that this has been happening all over the country. Ron Engelman, who was the only AM talk show host who seriously and truthfully covered the Waco massacre, was just recently fired.
You mean in Dallas?
In Dallas, Texas.
Wow, that's funny you bring his name up.
They changed the format, just like they did to you.
Ah.
And they put him in a position where he had no choice but to leave, just like you.
Right.
And this is happening all over the country. Anyone who begins to tell the truth on an AM or an FM station is gone very shortly. And the excuse is usually that they're changing the format. Sometimes they sell the station, and sometimes the station is sold for an amount much greater than what it was ever worth, which means somebody with big money is making sure that these things take place. I wonder how many Americans out there understand how many local radio talk show hosts who used to handle hundreds of calls in their local area on a regular basis have been bumped off the air by Rush Limbaugh, who spouts nonsense. All over the United States.
Oh, yeah. As we said earlier in this interview, he has to be eliminated. He has to be taken off the air. He's poison. As far as I'm concerned, I would tell him. As far as I'm concerned, he can say he's entertaining. He can say he's only fooling. But the verbiage and the dialogue that he puts forth, people believe.
Yeah, they believe it.
People believe it. People believe everything's just fine.
But I'm the person...
There are no problems. And let's not forget, he was the man that backed President Bush. He was the man that spent the night in the White House. He was the man that believed wholeheartedly there was no way in the world that President Bush could ever lose. He backed a loser, and everybody forgets that. He backed a loser.
That's right.
That makes him a loser. Ladies and gentlemen, that makes, when you back a loser, you're a loser.
That's correct.
You put your eggs in that basket, and that man put every single one of his eggs in that basket because he was put in the position he was in because of the Bush administration and the people behind it. And he backed the loser. He's lucky he is still hanging on.
Well, he's hanging on because he has these powerful interests behind him with putting there, and he's still doing a good job for them. But the point I want to make, Billy, is I cannot let the people off the hook. I cannot accept nor condone the sheeple factor. People have an obligation to themselves, their family, and the nation to find out what the truth is and not listen blindly to somebody tell them what they should believe or what the truth is. And when they do that, they are, in fact, in my estimation, fools. And, of course, are helping to destroy everything that we need to be protecting and building up and bringing back.
Well, it's a part of the Constitution that says it's not only our duty but our responsibility.
That's correct.
To make sure that the people in power are doing the proper thing. In so many words, I don't know the exact verbiage, but it's our responsibility. We have the right to redress our grievances. Nobody does this. I don't understand. I've been urging people in the state of Rhode Island to do this. I said, demand accountability. Demand. Let them know what they're doing. They work for us.
That's
America,
right.
You know, let's not forget what Bill Clinton said. I'll never forget the first week when he was in office. He says, we are your servants.
And then,
that man, actually, I couldn't believe when he said that. That's the first time I ever heard a president say that. We are your servants. We are working for you here in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I only hope he really means it. And if he does, we could have the right person there.
Well, I think if he meant it, he'd be keeping the promises that he made, but he's been breaking darn near every one of them that he ever made. Billy, we're getting down to the wire here. I want you to tell people where you're at in Rhode Island.
Okay.
I want to tell them about your show on WWCR and how they can get in touch with you, and I need you to do it real quick.
Appreciate it. Yes, I'm on every day, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. on radio station WALE, 990 AM. If you'd like to call live on the air someday, the live on air number is area code 401-621-9253. It would be live on my local talk show in Providence. I'm heard every Sunday night worldwide on WWCR and on whoever radio you have out there all over the world from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's every Sunday night. And you can call me. We have a special office number. And the best time to call is between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. East Coast time. We tape the conversation. We play them back on the radio. And that number is area code 401-724-7441. Area code 401-724-7441. If you'd like to write to us, you can write to the Happening Worldwide Network, Post Office Box 40035, Providence, Rhode Island, 02940.
Thank you, Billy Goodman. We wish you luck on your new show on WWCR, and I encourage all of you listening to tune in Sunday night, 8 p.m., that's Pacific Daylight and Mountain Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Daylight Time, and 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the Billy Goodman Happening right here on WWCR. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not written to us for an information packet yet, we're getting all caught up with the mail. And for those of you who have ordered anything and haven't received it yet, just be patient. We're getting it all out. The newsletter we're working on again. Haven't worked on it in a long time. Everybody who orders the newsletter gets 12 issues. It's not scheduled. It's not weekly. It's not monthly. It's not yearly. It's not scheduled. But everyone who ordered the newsletter will get 12 issues just exactly as you were promised. We've been overloaded with mail here, and things slowed down, and some things actually stopped until we found ways to deal with the mail. Tom Swift has helped us out quite a bit. He decided not to stay for personal reasons of his own and has gone back home, so we are now again without an assistant. The problem, folks, was money. Tom needed money, and we just were not able to give him what he needed. We appreciate his help. We love him. We wish him all the luck in the world. We wish we could have been able to come to some agreement about that, but it was just impossible. For those of you who think we're making tons of money around here, you're wrong. And we'll be happy to open our bank book to anyone who wants to see it. We just barely, barely pay the bills. And that's no exaggeration, ladies and gentlemen. The purchase of that tape duplicator set us back an awful lot. Folks, send for your info packet, listen to the address given at the end of the program, or call the hotline, and the address is there. I want to tell you that I really, really had a good time with Billy Goodman on the show tonight. It brought back an awful lot of memories, and I know it did for some of you out there also. Good night, and God bless you all.